Welcome to What's Poppin', a podcast about getting to know the people of Prince of Peace a little bit better, as well as digging deeper into the message from the previous Sunday. My guest today is Megan Eddings. Thanks for coming to
Thanks
the podcast.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
So the first question I have for you, Megan, I have for everyone so far is, how long have you been at Prince of Peace?
I've been an employee here since October of 2020.
Okay, an employee since 2020. Mm-hmm. How long all along have you been here?
25 years, since I was 5 years old and enrolled in kindergarten.
Oh, goodness. Mm-hmm. So lots of history.
Lots of history here.
All right, so as an employee, what's your title and what are your main responsibilities?
So my title is Marketing and Admissions Coordinator. I manage our website, social media accounts, create flyers, proofread, any marketing material, signage, newsletters, that all is through me. So anything marketing related, that's what I do.
Anything communication-wise, right?
Anything communication-wise, yeah.
Cool. What is something you do at Prince of Peace that a lot of people may not know that you actually do?
I think that a lot of people don't know, even though my desk is in the church office, I support the school and the preschool. So I manage all three websites, all six social media channels, provide flyers and signage for all three departments. And for the school side, I lead tours for prospective families. We tour the school and I help them through the application process. And on the preschool side, I help with tour registration.
Yeah, I think a lot of folks don't know that part about your job, and especially the tour part, the fact that you're the one showing the families around and, you know, answering questions as they are touring the facilities.
Which is really fun to do because I can put a personal spin on it as well, just with my experience here at the school, having been a student from kindergarten to eighth grade.
True,
so it's
yeah.
fun to share that with them. Yeah.
Question for you. So you've been here for 25 years. Mm-hmm. You talked about going through Prince of Peace as a student. Mm-hmm. What is your favorite sports memory? Is it from when you were a student here or as a coach here, or do you have one from both?
I have one from both.
Okay.
I think so. When I was a student here, I was in eighth grade. We went to LEST. That was up in Portland at the time.
What does that mean?
Lutheran Elementary Schools Tournament.
Oh, okay.
I remember it. and I went with the basketball team. So Pastor Zelt was the coach at the time. So we went up to Portland, and it was just a fun time. We ended up in second place, but my favorite memory was the game before the championship game. We had to win that game to make it to the final round, and it was a neck-and-neck game all four quarters, and I scored the tying point that put us in, or the tying basket, I should say, that put us into overtime.
Oh, wow.
So that was really fun. We ended up winning by 1 point.
That's pretty awesome. That's a good memory.
That was a very fun memory.
Yeah. So what about the one as a coach?
As a coach, I just finished my second year coaching girls volleyball. And this year, we just had a great team. They were so close and such a tight-knit group. But my favorite memory was the last day of the season at our tournament. We had just lost our first game of the whole season, and the girls were devastated. It was a hard loss. It was by 2 points, and they were crushed. There were tears. They came back to play for third, and you would have had no idea that they just lost their first game, and they were in tears an hour before. They were so excited to play. They were happy to be there, and they played like we'd never seen them play before. We were missing a couple of our main girls. They were out with COVID, so COVID was kind of going through the team at the time. And so we saw a lot of girls just step up to the plate, and Kendra and I looked at each other and thought, yep, they're doing it. Like, they're making us proud.
As a coach, you probably felt fantastic, right? Like, they got knocked down, they got up again,
they picked it right back up. They were smiling, they were laughing, they were playing the best we ever seen them play. And at that point, we didn't care if they won the game. They were awesome in that game.
Did you win?
We did win that game. So there was
a
plus to that.
Cared.
So we kind of care, but we did win that game. Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah. Cool. We want to talk about the message a bit from last Sunday. And so we went through 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. So a shorter section. Mm-hmm. And the title of the message was Declaration. Talked a lot about the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit does for us. And so I wanted to ask you if you have two things, good, bad, you know, interesting, whatever, about the message you want to ask a question about or share.
I really liked your demonstration with the fan and the pinwheel. That was awesome. I really like that. I would say a big takeaway from me through this entire, not just this message, but the series, has been reiterating the definition of love in the Bible, because I feel like that's a word we use often, but don't necessarily remember it, precisely what it means.
Yeah.
And especially with everything going on right now in the world, we're surrounded by negativity and just sourness and things that are happening that just bring us down. So it's a good reminder.
A good reminder. Yeah. And I think it's very valuable to keep talking about that because mm-hmm. love is such a word that you can define any way you sort of like to.
Yeah.
But we use it with each other and we use it. We don't necessarily know what the other person's talking about.
Right.
Right. And it's always a good thing. Love's always a good thing. We always, mm-hmm. you know, always think that. But in scripture, the fact that it is about the other person and being self-sacrificial and doing it according to the will of the Father, that very rarely is how we talk about love really anywhere.
Anywhere, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. But when you think about love in that sense and how that's how God loves us and how we're supposed to love others and also like how to love your spouse and all these things, like it kind of opens up the world to you to see love differently mm-hmm. and also sort of your purpose you have in loving people.
Exactly, yeah. And the other thing I found interesting was just your examples for the spirit of error that was mentioned. And just because I have friends who are not Christian, that are Mormon or from different backgrounds, mm-hmm. and some that are completely atheist. And it was interesting to hear the examples you gave for the spirit of error and just to kind of put those with other people that I know and be able to, you know,
and like, understand that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And it's helpful that John, you know, is so black and white what he says, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a spirit of truth and there's a spirit of error. And that's it, right? And the spirit of truth is all about Jesus and who he is. Mm-hmm. And anything outside that's a spirit of error. And sometimes they try to redefine who Jesus is. And that's our first sort of indication that, oh, this is not someone we should be listening to, and someone's being deceived if they are mm-hmm. that. Yeah. One thing that I want to bring up as I was thinking about this podcast and the message on Sunday, I actually mentioned it during the message about how 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is a very helpful section to look at when the Apostle Paul talks about a very similar thing that John's writing about in 1 John. And so I just want to read a little section here from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starts in verse 10. And Paul writes, "These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person, which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned." And so I like that section. It helps us understand that John section a little more, because what Paul is saying there is that we have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth in us, which enables us to understand spiritual truths, and that Holy Spirit comes from God and sort of lets us know God's mind on things, because the Holy Spirit knows the mind of God and so reveals things to us that we can never, ever understand on our own. And the person who doesn't have the Spirit of God can't understand those things, the natural person, Paul says, right? And so we shouldn't be surprised when people who don't know Jesus and don't have the Spirit of truth in them mm-hmm. don't understand what we're talking about, right? And they don't get it, and they don't believe because they don't have the Spirit. And this is a helpful thing for when we want to talk to someone about Jesus, because often what we want to do is we want to argue with them about, you know, all these points about being Christian, and you should do this and do this and not do this and all those things like that, when the reality is if they don't have the Spirit of God, none of that's going to make sense to them.
Right.
And so how do they get the Spirit of God? Through the proclamation of the word, so hearing who Jesus is. And once we have the same understanding of Jesus, then we can talk about all those other things that revolve around who Jesus is and, you know, the world that we live in. But until we share Jesus and understand him, it's going to be like talking to someone who just doesn't have the same language.
Right. I feel like that's a good point, because there's always the three topics that they say never to bring up at a dinner conversation, money, politics, and religion.
Yeah.
But if those are brought up, it turns into a huge family disagreement. And it's so to have that background and that knowledge of how to be able to speak about Jesus and explain his word mm-hmm. to somebody who is a non-believer,
yep.
that's helpful in that situation.
And to keep it focused on who Jesus is,
yes.
right? And,
mm-hmm.
and anything outside of that, you're probably not going to agree upon. And if you don't,
right.
it makes sense why you don't agree upon it. And so you can go, well, let's just not talk about it until we agree on Jesus.
Agree. Mm-hmm.
Or let's understand that we're not going to agree on these things. So that's okay, too.
And be able to have that conversation without it turning into
yep.
something else. Yeah.
Yeah. I have one more question for you, Megan.
Okay.
I did not give you this one ahead of time. So all you folks listening, I give the questions ahead of time so that they're not blindsided by what I ask, except for the last question. And the last question for Megan today is, which is easier, learn how to ride a bike or a horse?
Learning how to ride a horse for me. I fell off a bike so many times. And I remember I was learning how to ride without training wheels. And I told my stepdad, he was holding the back of my seat. I said, do not let go.
Yeah.
He let go. I didn't know. And I fell. But I apparently had gone a very long distance without him helping me. But I didn't focus on the fact that I went that far. I was mad at, you promised me you wouldn't let go. But I have definitely fallen off a bike more than I have a horse. So I'm going to
really?
Say riding a horse.
Riding
yeah.
a horse is easier than riding a bike.
Depending on the horse, but yes.
Interesting.
But I did figure out how to ride without training wheels, but yeah.
So here's another question. Is riding a horse like riding a bike in the sense that once you've learned how to do it, you can always just kind of get back and do it again, no matter how much time you've been away from it?
Yeah, you definitely have those natural instincts that just come back, the muscle
yeah.
memory.
Yeah.
Depends on the horse also and what curveballs they throw at you.
Because
the difference is they have a mind of their own and a bike doesn't. So if
that's
you're on
true.
A completely
yeah.
different horse that's a different personality than you're not used to, you're going to get thrown some curveballs. But that muscle memory is there.
It's always
when
there.
I went to college and didn't ride for a week or a month or so at a time,
yeah.
I would come back and it would I
just
remember.
Get right back
yeah.
on the horse.
Yeah, I knew exactly what to do. And
yeah, that's interesting. Oh, how often do you ride?
About three times a week.
Three times a week.
Yeah.
Is that your happy place?
That is my happy place.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. What's your horse's name again?
Snickers.
Snickers. Mm-hmm. Of
like
course.
The candy bar.
And does Snickers like, you can't give Snickers candy bars, right?
No.
That's not okay.
He loves
apples,
apples carrots, anything with peppermint, candy canes.
Really?
Loves
so
peppermint.
Peppermint's okay.
Mm-hmm. Peppermint candies are okay.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely loves them. Those are his favorite.
I had never known you could feed a horse candy canes.
Yeah, at Christmas time, I'll go buy a box and it'll usually last us the whole year.
Huh.
Yep.
Cool. Well, Megan, thank you for coming and being willing to be part of the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Good information. So I'll have to have you back sometime.
Sounds great. I'd love to come back.